Rob Hatch, welcome to The Signal. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First things first, what is the 48-hour film project? How exactly does it work?
Well, the 48-hour film project, as the name implies, is a film project where teams of filmmakers make a movie in 48 hours. And we've been doing it in Baltimore here since 2005.
And this is actually a national phenomenon, and it happens in many cities around the country. And Baltimore now has been participating for some 9 years.
That's correct. Actually, it's an international event these days. It will be in 125 cities across 6 continents this year.
This year's event here in Baltimore happened, of course, just last weekend, and the resulting cinematic masterpieces are they're going to screen at the Charles Theater early next week. Take us back, Rob, to the starting line, if you would. Last weekend, tell us how it all went down. Like, first of all, how many teams showed up ready to compete?
Okay, this year we had 44 teams who started the competition, and this year all of the teams that went to the kickoff actually turned in a movie, which doesn't happen every year.
Are these folks like generally amateur enthusiasts? Do you get any actual like professional filmmakers kind of sandbagging? What are these teams? Who are these people?
Well, that's one of the really great things about it is we get everybody from people who've basically never touched a camera before to people who are seasoned professionals. Maybe they work in corporate video and they want to get a chance to be creative again. So it runs the gamut. Also, we've had kids make movies. We have a couple movies by kids this year and, you know, up to usually people in their 20s and 30s, but, you know, seniors as well. So it really runs the gamut.
And these teams are, there's no limit on how big or small they can be.
No, there's a guy in New York who's done a number of movies by himself. And I know there's at least one team this year, they've done a couple years, AVA Productions, who will probably have a cast and crew of about 80 people.
Okay. So everyone shows up last weekend, ready to go, and you announce what you do every year, which is a required character, a required prop, and a required line of dialogue. Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yep.
Okay. So this year, what was it? What did they learn upon their arrival?
Okay. Well, the way it works, everybody comes in, and we get everybody checked in, make sure everybody's there. And then before they find out the required elements, they have to draw their genre from the cruel hat of fate, as I like to call it. So we literally have a hat that they draw their genres out of by screening group. After they do that, then we assign the required elements for the city. This year, the prop was a lollipop. The character was Fred or Frida Unger, beautician or barber. And the line was, does this look right to you? And they can use those in any way they want in the movie, but they must be in the movie.
Rob Hatch, I should say, you've made several of these 48-hour films yourself as a participant before becoming the event organizer here in Baltimore. Take us inside the minds of these teams as they set out then on their missions. I mean, like, what's life like for these people for the next 48 hours? Must be insane.
The dizzying, caffeinated highs and soul-crushing lows when equipment breaks down. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I never actually produced one myself, but I worked on 3 movies with some friends in D.C. back in the day. And so pretty much the way people usually do it is Friday night, they spend their time writing. Saturday, they shoot. And Saturday night and Sunday, they edit and they bring in the movies by 7:30 Sunday night to be on time.
How do they look when they, generally, what do you see when you see them walk in with their finished product?
You see it's a lot of glazed eyes, you know, kind of some frazzled looking people, but also excited and satisfied looking people.
Yeah. Nothing inspires like a deadline, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And with the nature of filmmaking, you know, it's such a collaborative process. And as Andy was saying in the intro, there are often so many variables, things to think about in making a movie that people talk about making movies all the time. And then there's, okay, this to figure out and this to figure out in pre-production, and they don't do them. You don't have that luxury in the 48-hour film project. It's like, boom, clock's ticking, start doing it.
Putting self-imposed limitations on a project can really be great creative tools.
Nothing enhances creativity like having a gun against your head.
What are like some of the classic rookie mistakes that you've really seen people kind of sink their ship with in the project over the years?
Well, one thing I would say right off the top is too many locations. So if you're spending a lot of your weekend driving around, from location A to location B to location C, that's cutting down on your production time. The biggest problem people have these days, though, I would say, is writing, especially endings. You know, it's hard to write a good script in that amount of time, but people do. And the other rookie mistake is not outputting a version of their movie early on Sunday.
Rob, you've shared a few of these films with me, and I can say that it was really interesting to watch a bunch of these films in a row and see the different ways that they overlap and where they diverge from each other, given the fact that they all require these certain identical elements.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the ones I saw, you know, have similar sort of horror movie conclusions to them, or just did something maybe disturbing about the combination of elements.
And that's really, uncanny how that happens sometimes. I forget what the genres of the films that I gave you to look at were, but I don't know if this says more about the genres or more about Baltimore, but one year we had two movies with dead bodies in a bathtub, and I was like, well, how did that happen? A bathtub wasn't the prop. A dead body wasn't the character, you know? But yet these two people had very similar movies with dead bodies in a bathtub.
When it comes time for judging, how do the films get judged and by whom?
Well, we have a panel of three judges that I pick from the local community. I give them screeners. They sit down and they watch them. And then we meet, usually at a place where everybody can have a bite to eat or a drink. And we sit down and we talk about all the films until we can all agree on who should win which category. I don't actually judge the movies. I moderate and I facilitate it with the judges. But we've had judges from who are programmers from Maryland Film Fest, and I'm very excited that we have George Figgs from John Waters fame here as one of our judges this year. So that's going to be a lot of fun working with him. I haven't worked with him before.
What are the stakes? I mean, like, what do the winners get?
Well, it just used to be bragging rights, but now the for the overall winner of the whole thing this year, I think there's a $5,000 cash prize. There's a Movie Magic Writer script writing software. That's for the Baltimore winner, not just the big winner. And, of course, you know, as I said, bragging rights is a big thing.
Sure, sure. Well, I should say to listeners, if you're curious to see for yourself how these short order movies turned out, I can let you know that Baltimore's 48-hour film project entries are going to screen next week right here in Baltimore over two evenings at the Charles Theater, Tuesday, June 17th and Wednesday, June 18th. And you can find all the details online at 48hourfilm.com. And Rob Hatch, congratulations on another successful year with the project, and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.